She gets in the car, she follows all the traffic laws, lives by them. It's the same thing what Jesus was saying, living by every word that comes out of God's mouth. You see, by it, that all your actions, all your decisions, all your behaviors, everything is according to the word of God. You see, that you choose peace instead of fighting, because that's what the Bible says, be a peacemaker. That you forgive instead of getting angry, because that's what the Bible says. That you go to the promises of God when the circumstances turn against, because God said this. Therefore, we keep making plans accordingly. We don't change direction. We keep on going. God has not changed his instructions. Why are we changing the course? Because a lion and a bear jumped in front of us? But if we believe and keep on going, the lion and the bear will have to move. You see, because God said so. It's easy. God said so. And we believe him and we keep on going because we have the promises. Because we have the word of God. We are living by it like Jesus did. I'm going to read some scriptures that are very important. Let's go to James 1:2-4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Without endurance, we don't finish the race. It's an element of running the race. You have to develop endurance. People without endurance quit halfway when you run a race. And the scripture is very clear. Running the race set before us, let's run it with endurance. Getting rid of all the things that trip us up and the sin that so easily overwhelms us. Let's finish the race. We have to develop endurance. You know, it says in Corinthians, let's run the race to win. To win, Paul said. You know, when a race is run, only one person wins. And so let us run the race to win it. To win the race. You see, like a winner. Let's run it to win. And for that, we need endurance. Testing and trials produce that. So if we want to finish the race, we want to stand before God, like I said last night, without regrets, we need to develop endurance. That means the testing of our faith. The challenges are very necessary. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete in character, lacking in nothing. You see, when we go through testing, we talked about pruning, and many times also, and now let's talk a bit about testing. You see, the testing is for endurance and for character. Very necessary. You may have the greatest calling of life, the greatest gifts, the greatest promises, the greatest prophecies given on earth. Without the right character, we are useless. I lived through that. I had a gift given to me, but no character to carry it. And I failed greatly. The mercy of God didn't give up on me. He taught me through many fire furnaces. But it isn't worth it. Character is more important than gift and anointing. And the only way to develop it is through testing. We have to change our mindset about testing being a bad thing. It brings great fruit for the kingdom. How can it be bad? It makes you better. Teaches you compassion. If you respond correctly, you can go bitter or you can go better. You see, but if you go better, it will turn, it will change you. It will make you more like Jesus. So you see, it's important to know that. 1 Peter 12:16. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. How many of you have said, Jesus, I want to be like you? I know, me too. So here we are, fire furnaces, testing all kinds of things, sharing in the sufferings of Christ, so we learn to become like Him. Keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. So there is a difference if you get yourself into trouble, or if it is testing for the name of Jesus. You know, so that's why we have to be very careful with our behavior. How do we live our lives? But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. You see, a victorious Christian life is not a life without challenges. It's not a life without pruning. It's not a life without testing. Not at all. A victorious Christian life is, it says in Psalm 84, that even though we walk through the valley of weeping, it becomes a place of refreshing springs. Because we have help that the world doesn't have. Because the fourth man meets us in the fire furnace and turns everything around. Because He promised to turn everything into good at the end. You see, it is. We can't determine our Christian life, the success of our Christian life, because of trials. You know, if we don't have testing, I would be concerned about my Christian life. I would be really concerned. Because, trust me, I'm far from arriving to the goal. And I don't want God to give up on me and say, she's not worth, you know, fixing or changing anymore. I don't want that. 1 Corinthians 13:13-15. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. You know, testing and the fires reveal the work of God in your lives. What He has accomplished. You don't realize what He has done unless you are child. You go through a challenge. You go through a trial. You don't realize what God has done. One day on Father's Day at home, I was cooking dinner for our kids were home. And anyway, I ended up slicing my finger to the bone. Long story. It was as bad as it gets. And I ran downstairs and the whole thing. It was very graphic and terrible. And suddenly my whole hand became numb and pain was shooting everywhere. And I felt this fear immediately responding inside of me. And without me having to think about it, without trying, out of my spirit and my soul arose together. It was the most beautiful thing. I sort of watched this reaction inside of me. And all of a sudden, I began to say out loud, without having to force myself to go there. That's when you know God has done a work. And I began to say, my Father is watching over me. My Father is watching over me. All is well. My Father is watching over me. And immediately, the peace of God came, the fear disappeared, all was well, I fixed my finger and finished dinner. And I came upstairs overjoyed. Slicing my finger was so beautiful because I could see what God has done inside. It came up. You see, unless fire comes, the work is not revealed many times. So it is a good thing, people. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. You see, it is very easy, and I'm going to finish with this. It is very easy to build things. It is very easy to build ministry, to build a marriage, to build a business, to build the things that God calls us to build. But are you building with a cornerstone? And with the stones that fit the cornerstone? And the testing, the fire comes to reveal what we are building in our lives. Scripture says many reject the cornerstone. Many builders reject the cornerstone. And when we build without the cornerstone, the foundation is faulty. And whatever you build will be tested by fire. God will test it to reveal the foundations, to reveal the quality of it. We want to make sure that what we build will stand out. We want to go through the fire and see that it remains. Without it, you will not know. And it is a guarantee God will test it to see if it remains or not. When we choose to build with a cornerstone, that Jesus is the foundation, he's the cornerstone, and everything we do, we build it, we do it around him. He is the center, he is it. Like the church of the book of Acts is Jesus. We focus on that. That the gift you have and the tools you have that you minister through him and in him, not just me and my gift. Look at me, look what I can do. I have this great gift, I have this great talent, I can do this, I can do that. But when you do it in him and through him, it's very different. There is an empowering from heaven. There is a transformation deposit that remains that people can carry on and build upon it. It is done in him and through him, like the church of the book of Acts. The cornerstone has to be there. The gift, the anointing, the ministry, the calling, the prophecy is not the cornerstone. It's Jesus. But a lot of people build around those other things and not the cornerstone. You may have and start building with a cornerstone, but you have to make sure all the building blocks fit the cornerstone. Builders have explained to me that when you build with a corner, when you use a cornerstone, the whole foundation, every stone you use in the foundation, even if it is far, far away from the corners, from this cornerstone, has to fit the cornerstone. They all fit the cornerstone, and they're all shaped, have to be shaped according to the shape of the original of the cornerstone. And if you take a stone that doesn't fit the cornerstone and you jam it in time it will pop up. It doesn't fit. It's forced in. And then years later, the foundation becomes faulty. And then what you build becomes weak and can fall. And there are lots of people who set out well. God calls you. God gives you. You start building something and it starts going well. But then along the way, you start rejecting the building blocks that fit the cornerstone. And I start using other ones. You see, every building block has to fit the cornerstone. That is Jesus. So we must, there are many building blocks that are rejected by the builders. They may start with the cornerstone, yes, but you know, humility, kindness, love, faithfulness, loving kindness, patience, honesty, integrity, all those things, building blocks that fit the cornerstone, have to be there. You all of a sudden put pride in there. You put unforgiveness. You start using lying or dishonesty and begin to change some cornerstones. You will end up with a failed project because the favor of God will lift off, because He will not support it, because the foundation is faulty. We see ministries falling all the time because of that. When the fire comes to test what you are building, it doesn't stand. You can start a good marriage and start building, you know, with Jesus, and we are doing this and God is in this, and then you begin to change the building blocks to yours, to the ones that you like, to the ones the world gave us. And then you start changing. You end up with a failed marriage because the foundation was not with the cornerstone and the building blocks that fit that cornerstone. God can call you to a ministry. You start well, and then you begin to change the blocks, the other stones around the cornerstone. It will not last. Longevity will not be there. It will not bring the fruit. It will not finish the race. You see, and the problem is, when that happens, it affects a lot of people who watch us run the race. You see, it affects those who have believed and have been watching and have been gaining strength from your race. It affects in a greater way than we think. God may give you a business and He intends to prosper it and do a great thing. But if your foundation is not the cornerstone and all the blocks that fit the cornerstone, it will fall. And it will be a problem. The good news are this. God is very kind. And before that happens, before it falls, before the fire comes to test what you are building, the work you are doing, in whichever area it is that God speaks to do in your life, He will prune you to change the fault in the foundation. Pruning will come to fix that so you pass the test when the fire comes. Pruning and testing work together. You see, it's very important, so we have to pay attention. If God is pruning you, it's to bring life. It may bring you, and you realize, I need to change this building block I have here. I've been walking in unforgiveness. I will pull it out, put forgiveness in there. Now your foundation is strengthened. So, I want to encourage you. And either pruning or testing, you cannot avoid them. And they are not a bad thing. We have to get rid of that mindset of this is bad. It's not. It's for good things that it happens. The scripture says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of need. You know what that means? I love that. A very present help in time of need. What that scripture is talking about is not about He is with you during the time of need. It means His home, His present. You know, sometimes you are sitting talking to somebody and the person is sitting in front of you, but there is no one home. You know, they are somewhere else. They are not present. They are with you, but they are not present. They are not engaged with you in the situation, in the conversation. That's what the psalmist says in there. He is a present need. He's engaged, he's home, he's having eye contact with you, he's there. Whether it's pruning or testing, he's a present help. You can count on him. He's engaged. You don't have to knock and say, anybody home? He's there. You see, let's finish by reading Psalm 1. Verses 1-3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Walk in the counsel of the wicked. When we read this, it is not just talking about people in the world. You will have to leave the planet. You know, but it is also talking about don't make them your influence. You know, don't make them your influence. We are supposed to have relationships with them so they can get saved. But do not make them your influence. But I want you to apply this as I read this to the friends of Job. You know, apply to the friends of Job. The questions, the doubt, their belief, the negativity, the how comes, the why. All of those things that the friends of Job bring. How come God hasn't healed you? How come God hasn't blessed you? How come, are you sure God spoke? Are you sure, you know, that you should have, God said to marry this person because look, she's driving you crazy. You know, are you sure? You know, the friends of Job, in whichever way they come. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You may hear it, but you don't walk in it. Because it will come. The accuser will talk. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Stands in there. Makes it a place where they stand. You know, in that place. And does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Does not sit in there. It doesn't mean doesn't have to deal with it, but does not sit in it. But instead, see, that's verse 1. Verse 2, but instead, his delight is in the word of the Lord. And in his word, and not some versions say the law of the Lord, other versions say the word of the Lord. And in his word, he meditates day and night. His delight is in the word of the Lord. He's bent towards his word. Instead of bending towards the friends of Job, his ear and his heart is bent towards the word of the Lord. Written word, personal words, prophecy, towards the word of the Lord. And in that, he meditates day and night. Instead of thinking about how big the mountain is, the problem, you know, the self-pity, the stump, the appearance, look at me, I'm a stump. You know, meditates in the word of the Lord, in the promises God has given you. Day and night. Only the person who does verse 1 gets verse 3. If you don't do verse 2, you don't get verse 3. I'm sorry, can't fix that. Only he will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, who brings fruit in all seasons. No matter what happens, what season you are in, good, hard, dry ones, there's fruit in your life. Because you are drawing from the streams of water. And you bring fruit in all seasons. Your leaf will never wither. That means destruction and death will not come into your promises, your life, your circumstances. It will be life from God in your life and in everything you do. And in everything he does, he prospers. You see, but if you don't do verse 2, you don't get this. You know, the thing is, everybody prospers each day. We all prosper, but what are you prospering in? I know people whose troubles prosper daily greatly. Sin prospers tremendously. Fears, frustrations are prospering like crazy. What do you prosper in at the end of each day? Whatever you have prospered in tells you if you are living in verse 1 or living in verse 2. Joseph is the perfect illustration of this scripture. He is that tree. We have dear Joseph, great destiny, great promises of God. He went through pruning and testing like crazy. My gosh, everything that happened to him because God blessed him and called him. Good Lord. But I am sure the friends of Job came. I am sure to tell you, look what your family has done to you. Look what's going to happen. You're probably going to die. They have sold you. Look at this. Now you're in prison. Now you've got false accused. Like, come on. Really, seriously, God spoke. What's going on? Nobody's helping you. Nobody knows you. Your family doesn't know. You're forgotten. You're abandoned. I am sure the friends of Job were there, talking and talking and talking into his ears and his heart. But I can promise you, he didn't engage with them. He didn't walk in their path. He didn't sit with them. He didn't stand with them. But I am absolutely sure that he meditated in those dreams day and night. He delighted. He was bent towards the word of God in his life. And probably God may have spoken more things as he was there. You know, but he meditated. I can assure you, you have coffee with him when you get to heaven and ask him, that he spent all the time there and he was bent towards the word of the Lord, those dreams he gave him, those promises he gave him, because he was the tree planted by the streams of water. The man prospered in prison. He got promoted in prison. Who does that? He gave fruit in every season of his life. He gave fruit in Potiphar's house. He gave fruit in his father's house. He gave fruit in the prison. He gave fruit in Pharaoh's house. He gave fruit in everything. His leaf never withered. He never lost hope. He never gave up. He never dried up. And he prospered till the end. And everything God said came to pass. You see, it is very important that we learn to walk these seasons well of life, because everything else will flow from there. These are good things if we have the Lord, his promises, and the right attitude according to Scripture. So what I want to do this afternoon, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray specifically, you know, if you have been going through testing or pruning, if you have gone through it and have found yourself in the place of feeling disappointed, dried up, in the places of why, all those things, I want you to stand with me. And I want to pray for a shift to come into your heart and into your life, and for a new empowering to arise. Because God is investing like never before. We are in the season of kingdom investment and kingdom dividends right now. So we need to position ourselves back there. You know, you may be a stump right now, or you may be come bouncing back, or you may still be dealing with some of the, you know, aftermath of some pruning or testing by fire. But the promises of God stand above all things. So if you have gone through anything and you need a boost from heaven, just stand and we will pray for impartation. Dear Father, we want to stand as we stand here before you right now. Father, the branches of the vine, each of us, the branches of the vine. Father, we want first to repent for the times we have not trust the divine dresser. The times when he fought divine dresser. The times when we blame divine dresser. Father, for we didn't understand what was happening. And Father, those of us who have seen even pruning in ministry, pruning in church, and we have wondered, what are we doing so wrong that, you know, there is sifting, there is change, there is, you know, the glory is not there as it was before. So Father, right now, we just want to humble ourselves before you. For any areas in which we have challenged you and not trusted you. And Father, we come before you now to thank you for finding us worth to be pruned. That you saw a good thing within us. And even today you are seeing a good thing within us. And you will prune us to bring it out. Father, I want to pray on behalf of anyone who has experienced the testing of what they are building. Whether it's marriage, business, work, relationships, ministry, calling, gifts, anything. And the fire came to test. Father, you are a God of restoration, life and hope. And because of that, we can come with confidence before you to say, here I am. Turn it around. Work it out for good. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just want to bless this house and everyone who is here today and every ministry here represented for the harvest time. For whether it is pruning or testing, the purpose of it is harvest. The end result is harvest. The end result is fulfillment of prophecies. And just like Joseph said to his brothers, what you intended for harm, God has turned into good. And that is the personal promise for each of you. And even when his brothers apologized to him for what they had done because they were afraid, Joseph said to them, it wasn't you, it was God who brought me here. He saw the hand of God in the whole thing. He said, it was God who brought me here. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to break off with the authority given to me any spirit of failure. Every mindset of failure, disappointment, rejection that has come out of pruning or testing in the name of Jesus right now. I break off any guilt and condemnation that has found place in your lives. And in Jesus' name right now, we close the door of what has been. I break off the power of regret over your lives, that regret has no place because God restores. He brings good out of bad. He brings gold out of dust. He brings life out of death. So in Jesus' name right now, I just bless you to come quickly out of the seasons you have been in, knowing that everything is protected by the hand of God, knowing that at the end, every single thing will turn out for good. God promises it isn't over until it is turned into good. So I bless you right now, and I just speak to the devourer, to the destroyer, to the robber, to leave God's children alone. I speak right now to they devour, and I tell you, these are sons and daughters, and you will pay for this. God's children are untouchable, and God deals with the enemies. So right now, I bless you to arise, to look up and look forward, leaving everything behind. Leaving everything behind, we move on towards the goal. Everything behind, not caring the things from before. That was then, this is now. Even if then was 15 minutes ago, that was then, this is now. Shaking off what has been, we move forward right now. For God restarts. He has a reset button. He loves to pray, to push and turn on the reset button for our lives at the cross. Forgiveness and repentance and reset takes place. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I call back into restoration everything that the devourer has taken. I call back into restoration everything that has been robbed from each of you. I call into restoration everything that has withered. I call into restoration the fruit that has not been produced in some of the seasons of life. That if you are not producing fruit in every season, this is a good day to become fruitful. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. For every valley of weeping will become a place of refreshing springs, guaranteed. And I bless you to receive the desires of your heart. For God does not give you desires and places the desires of your heart if he doesn't intend to give them to you. And the desires of your heart come personally, the desires of your heart come through prophecies. But I bless them right now, whichever way it is. I want to bless every business and every area of employment right now, that where the enemy has been stealing from you, where the devourer has come to take from you, and I call it back right now into restoration and fruitfulness in your lives, in any area that it has been touched right now, whether you have been denied promotions, whether you have been denied raises, whether the favor of God has not been on you for your employers. Right now, in Jesus' name, I bless you with the spirit of excellence of Joseph and Daniel in the workplace, that you will arise ahead above all others because of the favor of God, that you will be recognized and you will prosper like Joseph, and promotions will come to you and advancement will come to you. Those of you with your own businesses, I bless you to receive the favor of God and for the transfer of businesses from the wicked to the righteous. The business will leave other business. People will leave other businesses and will start doing business with you. And those who need work, I bless you right now to prosper financially and to prosper in work, that your names will come to the top and jobs will be even created for you. For that when the favor of God is upon you, he will create a job for you. I bless every ministry, everyone that has failed, lack of favor in ministry, or doors are not open, or even due to mistakes, you haven't prospered. I bless restoration right now, that all things will become new from today on. I bless every church here represented and every ministry to arise in the name of Jesus. Father, we repent if we have caused our prayers to be hindered. And then we have complained as to why aren't you answering our prayers. And Father, we want to clean the slate, to have unhindered prayers in the kingdom, unhindered prayers in your presence, so answers come quickly. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, lastly, I want to bless every marriage, every family and every marriage where the devourer has come to steal from you because of not building with the cornerstone or the building blocks of the cornerstone in relationally. Right now, any area that has been wobbly because of those, that particular foundation, faulty foundations, in the name of Jesus, any ministry, any areas of ministry, perhaps not full-time ministry, but areas of ministry within the church that have been faulty or wobbly because of faulty foundations, I bless you right now in the name of Jesus for a restoration to come to you of the good foundation of the cornerstone and the building blocks. And in the name of Jesus right now, I release an impartation for refreshment and an empowering to come from heaven right now, as it was in the day of Pentecost, that a fire was released over the people of God. I bless you today right now in Jesus' mighty name for a new empowering to come from heaven into your lives, to start again and to build again, and those who are in good position, good foundations right now, to continue building, even prospering to higher places in the kingdom for the glory of God. In Jesus' name right now, with the authority given to me, I declare a shift in the atmosphere right now to take place, and everything will align from heaven to earth, an inheritance to come right now. Every inheritance, every area of inheritance that Jesus paid for, and every area of inheritance is also every promise God has given to you to start manifesting right now. Anything that's being withheld in the atmosphere must be released right now, not tomorrow, not next week, right now, and to everyone here, and every household, and every ministry and church. Everything God has released that has been delayed must now come forth in the name of Jesus. And Father, we stand with confidence before you, for these are your sons and daughters, not hired hands. Because of that, I come before you right now to say, Kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done. Father, I release authority. There's a trumpet blowing right now of authority. I release authority right now for those who needed an authority of God into every situation. Right now, for Jesus said he gave us authority over every area of the enemy, because Jesus was giving himself all authority in heaven and earth. With the authority of Jesus, we tell every demonic operation to back off. Every sickness and infirmity to back off right now. Every sickness and infirmity that has come into bodies of God's children right now, because of the journey, because of the stress, because of the frustrations, because of anxieties, because of fears, because of lack of peace, because of persecution of any kind, any damage to the body of God's sons and daughters has to be restored and repaired in the name of Jesus. So I speak right now to spirits of sickness to leave the bodies of the children of God. I speak right now to every curse of the devil, for Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the spirit and power to do good and to heal everyone oppressed by the devil. Everyone, not some, everyone. So right now I release healing to everyone who needs it today. If you need healing, put your hand on your head and bless yourself with healing. Receive it. It is very easy to agree and say, I am sick. I am this. I have this. You have taken ownership of sickness as yours. Get rid of it right now. It's not yours. Don't take ownership. Don't say, my diabetes, my headache, my things. You may be affected by it, but it's not yours. So in Jesus' name right now, we break off the bond. I break off this ungodly bond, this association with sickness and infirmity and death right now that has come. Every oppression from the devil that has come into your bodies right now, and I command it to be gone. Father, I ask for the renewing of our minds to come. The renewing of our minds, for these bodies belong to us, don't belong to the devil. They don't belong to sickness and infirmity. They were not created to be inhabited by sickness and infirmity. They were created to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, to be the abode of the Trinity and your home on earth. So in the name of Jesus, because of his power and his might, and because of Resurrection Sunday, I bless you to be free right now. And I speak to every demonic force affecting the bodies to be gone in the name of Jesus right now. The children of God are free because of the blood of Jesus, the cross and the resurrection. Where there has been unforgiveness, where there has been bitterness that has affected your bodies into sickness. Right now, Father, as your children forgive and release and they learn to clean the slate, Father, to reset all the damage caused by that has to leave the bodies right now. People with insomnia, be healed in the name of Jesus. Everybody dealing with insomnia and at night and the troubles of night and oppression at night with sleeping problems, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. People who have been dealing with ear problems, any ear problems right now, if you have dealt with ear problems or have pain in the ears, ringing in the ears, anything in your ears, lay your hands on your ears right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak to ears right now. Be healed, and I command you right now, be open to hear and be healed properly. Right now, any deafness, any sickness, any trouble, any ringing, anything in these ears ends right now. For these ears were created to hear the voice of God. And you will hear the voice of God. And you will hear clearly and strongly. Arise right now. For the power of God is upon you. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I just ask that you will give us the ability to rebut the curses with the word of God, with the truth. It's so easy to embrace curses when we have the word of God. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. Freedom and healing, destiny and restoration, that your bodies will be renewed to finish the race. Your bodies will be empowered to finish the race. That everything that is within your bodies will bow down to worship Jesus. That you will not worship in the altar of sickness, but sickness will worship Jesus. Amen. Right now, I bless you for freedom. Dear Father, would you release an empowering and a deposit of your Holy Spirit in your sons and daughters right now. And with authority given to me, I just call out of you your next harvest to come. Your next harvest to come. For the Father has found you, the vine dresser has found you worth it to be pruned. For there is more harvest within you. And your latter glory after the pruning will be greater than it was before. In Jesus' name. Amen.